Thank you, everybody.
He's not coming.
Bye-bye. Anything we can pick up, the better, everybody. Anything we can pick up in time, the better.
Say, you folks out there by your radios, this is Pete Smythe. I'd like to ask you a favor. You see, we're looking for people, a special kind of people, and you can help us find them. So, sort of keep your eyes and ears open, will you? For we're hunting for people with big hearts. You up there in Boulder, you must know of people who will match the perfect setting of your city. You driving along in your cars on Highway 40, 87, 66, and all the others. You must know of someone in your neighborhood who is known for his kindness and generosity. And way down there in the Arkansas Valley, Lamar and La Junta and all those other towns, who do you know that goes out of his way to see that others get a break? Look around you, will you? Think about it a little bit out there in Laramie and Hudson, McCook, Idaho Springs and the others. And then tell us about these great people carrying big hearts.
Here is a new program, a program for you, the people, a program known as The Biggest Heart, presented each week at this time by Fred Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor. In every city in this land, there are folks who think about the other fellow once in a while. In every small town, there is a person who's always around when things go wrong and a friend is needed. These are the kind of people this old world of ours can't do without, for they've got big, wide-open hearts. If you know of some such person, write a detailed letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver, so that we can tell the world about them. And now, to give you an idea of the kind of person we mean, here is your narrator, Pete Smythe, to tell you about the biggest heart in Arapahoe County.
The other day, while I was reading through some of the letters that we have received about big-hearted people, my eyes hesitated at the following paragraph, and I quote, "As a newcomer to Colorado, many of the first impressions of the West are still fresh in my mind, and among these is the fact that the Westerner's heart fits the size of the country he lives in. A striking example is a woman who, though not born in Colorado, is as much a Westerner as most native-born. Her name is Virginia Braswell. Her home, a ranch near the southeast corner of Denver." Well, the next afternoon found me driving south from Denver toward the Braswell Ranch, a cluster of red buildings clinging to the top of a breeze-swept, dryland hill, and commanding a view of the Colorado Rockies from Pikes Peak to the south to Long's Peak to the north. I stopped the car, opened the car door, and stepped out onto the ground. I took about four steps toward the gate, and then big dogs, little dogs, medium-sized dogs with voices to fit appeared at the fence to greet me or devour me. I couldn't tell which. There was a sign on the gate which stated, "Use the Pegasus Corral Gate." So I proceeded along the fence toward this entry, which was on the other side of the barn, and thankfully away from the pen of dogs. A person suddenly appeared from one of the barn doors and saw me standing at the gate, started walking toward me. She was wearing faded blue jeans, a sweater, tennis sneakers, and had her hair corralled with a scarf. "Hello," I said.
"Hello. I heard the dogs and I knew there must be someone out here."
I didn't know whether to risk it or not with the dogs.
"Oh, they're all as sweet as can be. They wouldn't hurt you. That is, if you were good to them."
You're Mrs. Braswell, aren't you?"
"Yes."
"Well, Mrs. Braswell, I'd like to talk to you about your animals."
"Why, I'd be delighted. I'm just beginning to feed them, so you can walk around with me. Oh, I hope you'll pardon my dishabille."
"Dishabille? Mm-hmm. Something about clothes, I believe." And she said it so unaffectedly. I said to myself that here was an unusual woman. And she was, from the very beginning. It all started over a little kitten back in North Carolina, where she lived as a small girl.
"My, but you're lucky to have such a beautiful kitten like that. May I hold it?"
"I can't see anything beautiful about cats. All they do is scratch and meow."
"I love kittens. I love all animals."
"I'd rather have a dog."
"Then you could give me the kitten."
"Here, give me that cat."
It likes me. Listen to it purr.
Give it here. I'll make it purr.
Don't be so rough. You're hurting it.
Can't hurt cats. They've got 9 lives.
That's just the thing. They really don't have.
I'll prove it to you. There. You see that fireplace? Well, we'll just see if they have 9 lives.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't dare.
Oh, I wouldn't, would I?
Jerry, don't you dare. Don't, Jerry, don't.
Come away from that fire. Don't. Let that cat burn.
What's going on in here? What are you two children fighting and shouting about? Virginia, come away from that fire. What are you doing?
Mr. Hopkins, here's what I'm doing. This poor little kitten.
Jerry's kitten? How did the kitten get in the fire? Son, how did the kitten get in the fire?
Well, he just ran and jumped in.
Why, Jerry Hopkins.
Jerry, I want the truth. Did you put the kitten in the fireplace?
I was just testing it, Dad.
Just testing it?
To see if it had 9 lives.
Jerry, I'm ashamed of you. I should throw you in the fire to demonstrate how it feels to be burned. I'll take care of you later, son. Right now, I'd better get Virginia to the doctor and this kitten to the veterinarian as quickly as possible.
And that was your first experience as a savior to mistreated animals?
Yes.
Were they badly burned?
Oh, not badly, but painfully. And the kitten and I convalesced together. Mr. Hopkins gave it to me. It was one of my earliest and favorite pets.
Our tour now brought us to a spacious, well-populated corral. As we passed through the gate, horses, ponies, mules, and burros came walking toward us. They looked well-fed and happy. In fact, they almost seemed to be wearing smiles. But perhaps it was a reflection of Miss Braswell's infectious good humor, her enthusiasm.
Every one of the animals in this corral has a story of its own to tell. Oh, you see the old mule over there by the water tank? Oh, that's Kate. She pulled ore cars in a mine for many years. When she got too old to work, they were going to destroy her, but I brought her here to live the remaining years in comfort. On the gray horse with the limp over there, She was quite a racehorse in her day, but she became lame and was headed for the packing house. But here she'll live out her life in retirement.
Miss Braswell told me dozens of stories about Jerry, the 30-year-old Shetland, KB, the baby burro, Mr. Gold, the little horse that looks as though he's standing in post holes. Going to the rescue of horses was also a habit Miss Braswell formed early in life. For instance, there was a time she was living in New York City while teaching school at Columbia University. One day, as she was walking along a street in the Lower East Side, she saw a man beating a horse which was hitched to an overloaded cart. Miss Braswell went into action.
Stop it! You should be ashamed of yourself.
Lady, why don't you mind your own business?
That is exactly what I am doing, because you have no business beating a poor, defenseless animal.
It's my horse, and I can do what I want with it.
You can't be cruel to animals.
Then who says I can't?
I say you can't.
Well, now, ain't that just too bad?
No, I don't see that it is.
And what are you going to do about it, huh? Hit me with that great big fist of yours and knock me down?
No, there's a better way. I'll simply make a phone call.
Oh, and get your hubby to knock me down, huh? Who's he? Jack Dempsey?
Have you ever heard of the SPCA?
Sounds mighty frightening. What is it, like the Ku Klux Klan?
All right. What seems to be the trouble here?
Well, it's this lady here, officer. I think she's describing the piece.
I think it's quite obvious what the trouble is, officer. Just look at that horse's back.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That animal's taking a terrible beating. You're responsible for this?
And a lazy fool wouldn't pull, so I just tapped him with the rein.
The poor horse was trying, but it kept slipping on the pavement. Besides, I think it's sick. You can see it can hardly stand up.
You're right. I think this is a case for the Humane Society.
Hey, what are you going to do?
I'll have a humane officer here in a few minutes. I have an idea he'll be taking this horse with him.
Hey, but you can't do that. What about my cart?
That's your worry. But figure some way to get it off this street. After that, I'll be happy to furnish your transportation to the station house. You want to prefer charges, lady?
Oh, I think not, officer. I'll leave that up to the SPCA.
SPCA? What kind of an outfit is that, huh?
Men like you should know more about it. It was because of men like you that it was organized. When I threatened to make my phone call a few minutes ago, it wasn't to my husband or Jack Dempsey. It was to the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Say, perhaps you should join. I think it would do you a lot of good.
did the man join the SPCA, Miss Braswell?
Well, I doubt it. He was mad enough to chew nails when the humane officer got there and took the horse away, leaving this fellow standing beside the heavy cart in the street.
You were lucky to have the law on your side and a policeman with a heart as big as yours.
Yes, but it hasn't always been that way. Several years later, I moved to Denver. I was settled in the eastern section of the city in a little house with my dogs. One afternoon, as I was about to leave to go for a horseback ride...
I'm Officer Noonan. I'd like to speak to Miss Virginia Braswell.
I'm Miss Braswell. What can I do for you?
We've been receiving complaints about your dogs.
My dogs? Now, what have they done to the neighbors?
Oh, there's no special complaint. They're just saying that you have too many dogs.
Too many? Now, who could have too many dogs?
Well, I don't know about that, but how many have you?
Why, I only have eight.
You only have eight?
Well, yes, is that too many?
Lady, there's a law about dogs in this part of the city.
Well, yes, I'm aware of that. All my dogs have their licenses all paid for. Come in, I'll show you the
law. No, I'm not talking about the license.
There's another law?
Yes. You see, you don't know it, but you have a kennel.
A kennel? Oh, no, officer. I keep them in the house with me.
Lady, what did you say your name was?
Braswell. Virginia Braswell.
Yes, thank you. Well, now, Miss Braswell, you see, the law reads that five dogs constitutes a kennel, and you have eight dogs, so you have a kennel, and you can't have a kennel in this part of the city.
Oh, I see. Well, then, what are you going to do?
I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to take the dogs.
Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't take my dog.
But I have orders to do so. I have the warrant right here.
Officer, what did you say your name was?
Noonan, Officer Noonan.
Officer Noonan, is there any law that says I can't move?
Dogs and all?
Dogs and all.
No, I don't suppose there is.
Well, then our problem is solved.
It is? How?
We'll move.
When?
Well, I don't see how I can do it before tomorrow morning. Now, will that be all right with you?
Well, I suppose so. If you're sure you'll move.
I promise. So you go back and tell your boss that we're moving to the country. Away out in the country.
I'm sorry, Miss Braswell. It wasn't my idea.
Well, don't be sorry. The more I think about it, the more I like it. You come see us out there, wherever we are.
Well, I'll do that. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye, and... Officer Noonan.
Yes?
Don't forget to tell the neighbors. I know we'll be happy in the country, and I want them to be happy, too.
And did you keep your promise to Officer Noonan?
Oh, you bet I did. 24 hours later, we moved in here, and we've been here ever since.
Well, how many dogs do you have now?
Oh, about 62, I think.
62, Is that too many dogs?
Not as long as I can feed them.
And each animal here at your animal haven has been acquired because it needed a friend, or was injured, or had been mistreated?
Yes, that's right.
Well, how about that little black fellow sitting over there by the gate? The one who's giving us that cynical look.
Oh, that is Buddy. He's one of my favorites. Perhaps you remember reading in the papers about him. He used to meet his mistress each evening at an interurban station near Arvada.
There's Buddy, Miss Morgan. I can see him waiting up there beside the track.
Oh, I never worry about Buddy. I always know he'll be here to meet me.
I don't think he's missed since I've been on his run.
Oh, no. He's the most faithful friend I have.
Yes, sir. A fine dog, all right. Well, here you are, Miss Morgan. Hi there, Buddy. Catch any rabbits today?
Goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow evening.
Watch those steps, sir.
Hello, Buddy. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Here now. You can carry this package. Well, here, hold this thing in your teeth. Is it too heavy? Oh, you dropped it. Now, here, let's try it again.
Miss Morgan, look out. You're on the track.
You can carry
it. Mrs. Morgan, the train.
I've done it lots of times before.
Mrs. Morgan.
Here, Buddy.
Look out. Hurry. Jump.
Mrs. Morgan was killed. She was rather hard of hearing and didn't know the train was bearing down upon her. So Buddy was left homeless. I read about it in the paper and brought him here. He seems to be happy now, although I know he must think a lot about his wonderful mistress, Mrs. Morgan.
We stood there for a moment or so watching the dogs playing in the big yard. Over 60 of them. They seemed to have worked out the problems of living together quite successfully. There was no fighting, and I wondered if people would get along as well. Miss Braswell?
Oh, just call me Brazzy. Everyone does.
All right, Brazzy. What was your most unusual experience in acquiring one of your dogs?
Oh, I've had so many. Well, I found a blind dog at the bottom of a well, and I found a white one almost frozen in a bank of snow. Oh, that great Dane over there belonged to El Cobra, the bandit who held up the bank on East Colfax. But then there was Blindy.
Blindy?
Yes, he belonged to a blind man named Blind Joe, who sold newspapers for years on Larimer Street. One night, about 10 o'clock, I was sitting at home and... Hello?
Hello, this is Steph down at the dog farm.
Oh, yes, and how are all your dogs?
Oh, fine, fine. But I think I know where there's one that you'll want.
Well, good.
Blind Joe died a couple of days ago in his room down on Larimer. And the police have tried to get in to take the body, but Joe's little dog won't let them near him.
Oh.
They don't want to shoot the dog, so they call me in on the case.
I see.
Now, I wonder, can you meet me there?
It'll take me just about a half hour to get
there. That's okay, that's okay. We'll be waiting. Now, the address is...
This is the room. Now, don't try to go in yet. I'll show you what happens when I open the door.
Let me try it. Oh, the poor thing is frightened to death.
All right, now, officer, we'll try this big net. Now, when you open the door, I'll push it through first and try to place it over the dog. Are you ready? All right, go ahead. Open the door. I jumped out the window.
Close the door again, that's right. Then he'll come back through that window to be near his master. Then when he's inside, officer, if you'll go around to the window and slam it shut. We'll wait here until we hear the window.
He's been gone 5 minutes. Suppose the dog got away?
He'll come back. Blind Joe is his best friend. He won't leave him. Oh, there. That was the window. He must be inside now. Let me see what I can do with this dog. He may be less frightened of me. Here, boy. Now, no one's going to hurt you. Easy now. We're your friends. Here now. Come on, boy. Come on. I'm going to take you home with
me. Careful, careful. He might nip you.
No, he wouldn't nip me. Now, would you? You wouldn't bite anybody. Here, boy. Come on. Come on. That's a good dog. I know you must feel pretty badly with no one to pet you and scratch you like this. There. How does that feel? All dogs like to be scratched right here under the neck. Now, you're going home with me. You'll like it there. Lots of other dogs to play with. And I'll tell you what. I'll call you Blindy. Blindy. Then we won't forget your master. For I have an idea that he was mighty good to you. Or else you wouldn't feel so badly about his leaving.
How did Blindy turn out?
Oh, he was one of the best-behaved dogs I ever had. He died 3 years ago. He's buried over there, back of that shed.
I think you've proven a point, that most dogs, like people, are good ones if given a chance. But now let's get back to horses for a moment. I understand you teach children to ride.
Oh, yes, I have several classes a week. I go into town and pick them up and bring them out here. That reminds me, we get horses in the strangest ways. One day I had some children in the station wagon and we were coming across the 14th Street Viaduct.
Brazzy! Brazzy! Stop the car! Stop the car! Look! That horse over there! Someone has left him. He's all bloody.
Well, we'll just have to have a look at him.
Look, he can only stand on three legs.
Now, why would a poor old horse like this be tied up in front of a tavern? and in such terrible condition. Why, it looks as though he's been dragged.
You can see the bone of his leg, where they dragged him.
Well, there's only one way to find out what happened. Come on, we'll go inside. Bartender.
Hey, yeah, lady.
Could you tell me who owns the horse out there?
That fellow right there.
Oh, would you please tell him I'd like to speak to him?
Oh, sure, yeah. Hey, you go. You
run over. Yeah, all right. Hello, lady. You ready to see me about something?
Yes, about your horse. The one tied up in front.
Oh, him. He's on his way to the packing house. Let me make dog food out of him. I bet he'll be plenty tough, huh?
How much do you want for him?
Oh, he ain't no good, lady. He's crippled.
How much?
The packing house will give me a set of pounds.
I doubt if they will. He's so thin and he's lost so much blood. He might not even live till you get him there. I'll give you $5.
Huh? $5? Oh, okay. Sold. You worry about getting them away from here, huh?
Bartender.
Yeah, lady?
Could I borrow a piece of paper?
Oh, sure, yeah.
We'll make out a bill of sale. Now, what's the horse's name?
Name? He ain't got no name.
Well, we'll name him. How do you like Lucky?
Lucky? Why Lucky, Brazzy?
Well, it seems that this is his lucky day. And don't you think he's lucky to be alive?
Yes, that's a good name.
Lucky, I like that.
All right. Now sign this bill of sale.
Okay.
Thank you. And here is your $5.
Thanks, Lee. You're going to call that horse Lucky, huh?
Yes.
Well, you better call me Lucky, too, then. Here I am sitting here, and a lady comes along and hands me $5 for a half-dead horse. I like that, huh? Step up, gents. You're lucky he's buying drinks for the house.
I had my doubts about Lucky that day, too. But we had him trucked out here, and we nursed him back to health. And now the children ride him with or without a saddle or bridle and climb over and under him. He'll live a long time if they don't worry him to death, but he seems to enjoy it.
Well, Brazzy, it seems to me that the one who gets the biggest kick out of all this is you.
Well, I suppose that's so. But you know what my mother always said?
No, what?
She always said, Brazzy, it's just a good thing that we don't have elephants in this country.
Just a moment, I want you to meet Virginia Braswell in person. But first, here is Bill Jones to tell you about something new and nice and beautiful.
I know that a lot of you listeners have been hearing and reading about the new Hudsons for 1951. Well, I just want to tell you that they are the finest Hudsons ever built, and that's saying something. This new Hornet, for instance, that everyone is talking about, has a marvelous new 145-horsepower high-compression engine that will put you out ahead in any company, and on regular gasoline, too. Then there are those other hardy Hudsons, the Pacemaker, Super 6, and the Commodore 8, all with Hudson's famous step-down design. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to suggest that you do yourself a favor and take yourself a ride in a Hudson before you buy any car. Drive a Hudson. Give it a good trial. And Fred Ward will be glad to arrange for your ride in that new Hornet. The showrooms are handy at 1300 Lincoln, or just call on the phone and ask.
Do something every day to make our world a better place in which to live. And here beside me in the studio is tonight's lady of the big heart, Miss Virginia Braswell. Miss Braswell, on behalf of Fred Ward, I want to present you with this scroll which reads, The Biggest Heart. Miss Virginia Braswell, presented October 27th, 1950, radio station KLZ. On the Biggest Heart program. Great people carry big hearts. And then we have some other nice things for you. You've been doing all these things for other people these years, so From the Park Floral Company, here's an orchid there at 1643 Broadway. And also from the Park Floral Company are these roses. We have them here in the studio someplace. Will someone dig them up? And Miss Landers, down at the Hosiery Bar at 707 16th Street, wants you to have some Berkshire silk stockings. Do you ever get to use them around those dogs out there, do you?
Well, sometimes I need to replace them very quickly.
Well, we'll fix that up for you tomorrow. And how about dinners now? I don't suppose you ever get much of a chance to go out to dinners, but the Shirley Savoy Hotel next door, they want you to have either Thanksgiving dinner, Sunday dinner, whatever you have. This letter will do it for you. And then for each of those animals, that puzzled us a little bit, but from Mang and Bell, we have 2 cases of Strong Heart dog food, 1 case of Puss in Boots cat food, and 1 can of Good Air. That's a new product. It's supposed to be some kind of a room deodorant, so that's for the goats. They can eat the can after they get through. And from Ranchway Feeds, 100 pounds of Ranchway pigeon feed, 50 pounds of Ranchway lay mash for the chickens, 25 pounds of Ranchway rabbit feed for the rabbit, 25 pounds of Ranchway dog food. And as you know, Ranchway feeds have been developed especially to meet the needs of the West. So, and now the horses. We had to do something about them. So Fred Ward's horses, they're going to send over some hay and some oats from their ranch over to your horses. So they'll be happy. And we talked around a little bit, and we found out that you've been saving up all these years for one thing. And every time you get money enough, you go and buy yourself a horse or a dog or something. So Monday morning, that's wash day, we're going to deliver out there a Horton washing machine. That's H-O-R-T-O-N. They've been making machines since 1871. Wonderful machine, and it'll take a big load of clothes and wash them in 3 to 12 minutes. And this Horton is distributed here in Denver and this territory by the Boyd Distributing Company. And we want to thank Cease Boyd for his cooperation. I have one question I'd like to ask you before we go off the air, and that is about animals in general. Is there anything, any message that you'd like to give the people out there?
I would like to ask them to please take a dog or any pet as a responsibility and treat it as such. If they don't want it, please don't take it.
I see. Now tell me, with the price of feed now, how do you feed all of these animals out there?
Well, I have the children that come out to ride.
I see. And then you have a sort of a preschool.
A preschool. That's on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Anybody have any extra feed, we can still use it, can't we, Brazzy? Well, Miss Braswell, may I offer my sincere congratulations. You are truly a wonderful person, and may there be more like you.
Thank you, Mrs. Martin.
If you would like to suggest some big-hearted person for this show, The Biggest Heart, just write a letter to Fred Ward, KLZ, Denver. Letters will be judged on what the person with the big heart has done, so be as complete as possible. On behalf of Fred Ward, I want to thank the following: Park Floral Company, the Hosiery Bar, Shirley Savoy Hotel, Mang and Bell, Ranchway Feeds, and Boyd Distributing Company. In our cast tonight, Barbara Peters, Jim Herrick, Dick Wolhoff, Johnny Zoll, John Connors, and Karen Evans. Music by Art Gow. Direction, Charles Roberts. Production and script by Pete Smythe. This is Bill Jones inviting you to listen next Friday night at 7:30 when Fred Ward Incorporated, your Hudson dealer and distributor, will present the third in this new series of programs saluting the biggest heart.